Hey, man, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Looking at the mysteries of life. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and we pray for those that are away from us, not feeling well or traveling. Lord, that you would just strengthen and encourage their hearts today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way now in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? "Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your" what? "Souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of you like mysteries? Okay. If it wasn't for mysteries and adventures, there wouldn't be too many fictional books written. Okay. There's usually something is involved in that. A mystery, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is an inexplicable or secretive quality or character. Excuse me. It applies to that which cannot be fully understood by reason, or it's something profound. So that's a mystery, something that's inexplicable. Sometimes the words they use in definitions, you have to look up the definition of the word they use for the definition. So inexplicable kind of means unexplainable, okay? Something like that. It hasn't been the first time I've had to look up a definition word again to find out what that means, but. So mysteries of life solved here. First of all, here we're looking at the mystery of finding rest. And the mystery of finding rest is getting in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Labor Day weekend. This weekend, many people use this as their last getaway before school starts. And of course, many of you have already started. So, but it used to be that way. It was the last chance to get away before school started and back into the routine for the school year. But how many people come back rested from their trips? We always have to come home to rest from a trip. We usually get exhausted on our trips and we have to come home to rest. So that last getaway to get some rest, no, we have to come back to get rest. So probably more come back tired than come back refreshed. But when you get tired, how many say, "I am so tired. I've got to go back to work so I can get some rest"? I've heard some people say that because sometimes around the house there's so much to do, you may actually be able to get more rest at work, depending on what you do for a living, than at home because you're working so hard. But in most cases, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say, "Wow, I've got to go back to work so I can get some rest." Most of the time, we don't say that. Most of the time, when we are at work, we say, "I'm tired. I want to go home and rest." Now, that's the normal thought, the normal saying. But notice this mystery, verse 28. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my" what? "Yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find" what? "Rest unto your souls, for my" what? "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Normally, that would be contradictions. A yoke stands for work. A yoke normally is a, there's variations of yokes, but the original yoke we would think of is a wooden thing that helps two animals to pull together. It's a work. Brother Geary had a yoke he let us have in here once for a while, but back in the old days when they used ox or horses, mules to plow and to do all kinds of things, they'd yoke them together so they could pull together, and they needed to be the same size. But you notice Jesus always pulls more of his weight. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's like Lord allowed us to go up to Mackinac Island, and sometimes up there we have rented a tandem bike. A bicycle built for two, but the back one is for a little child, and the front one is full-size adults. So we're talking about a yoke like that. We're talking about one person pulling the vast majority of the load, and that's the Lord Jesus. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Most of the time we wouldn't say to someone, hey, are you tired? Are you burdened? Do you need rest? Well, come to work with me then. Normally that would be kind of a contradiction. That would be a mystery. But here Jesus says, if you labor and are heavy laden, come. Come with me, get in my yoke. Now he could have said many other things. He could have said, are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Why don't you just come up to paradise with me and sit under a palm tree and sip some iced tea? Now I see around in the north, sweet tea is catching on. The first time I ever had sweet tea was when we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we was at some restaurant and they had sweet tea. I just thought it was tea. And so I go to take this big swallow and there's nothing more shocking than be expecting tea, which is normally kind of bitter, and it was sweet, but it's catching on, I guess, all over America now. But Jesus didn't say, are you tired? Are you weary? Why don't you just come and sit with me in paradise and in this lawn chair and beside the water and just sip iced tea with me. Just take it easy. Calm down. Take it easy. Rest. But that's not what he said. This is a mystery. Verse 28, verse 30, 28, 29, and 30, he said, if you're tired, if you're troubled, you're heavy laden, get in the yoke with me and you'll find rest. That's really a mystery. And that's something the average person would and could never understand unless they do it. And then they'd find out the truth. I can recall with my children different times carrying drywall with them, and they wanted to help. Well, drywall is heavy, and so I would position myself just off center. So, you know, they'd have a little weight there, and they were thinking they were helping Dad with this great big piece of sheetrock. But that's the way it is getting in the yoke with the Lord. You know, so many times if we sit and do nothing, we don't find rest in that. We're just more troubled. The best thing to do, I was talking to someone this week, and the best thing to do, well, turn to me and I'll show you. Hold your place here if you would. But Proverbs 16. How is it to not be troubled? What should we do? Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy what? Works unto the Lord, and thy what? Thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So when we're troubled, many times the best thing is not to sit. The best thing to do is get up and serve the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So back in Matthew 11 there, Jesus also did not say, hey, if you're laboring, if you're heavy laden, come to my house. Come to my mansion. And there is a lazy boy recliner just for you. Lean back. Kick up your feet. Kick off your shoes. Hey, if you're heavy laden, if you're troubled, just take it easy. Take it easy. Sit back. No, that's not what he said. He said, get in the yoke. If you're heavy laden, if you're troubled, get in the yoke with me. Jesus didn't say, hey, if you're troubled, if you're heavy laden, I've got a wonderful little lake here. And I've got a great pontoon boat. It's got a topper on it, keep you in the shade. And there's nothing more relaxing than just being out on the water. This last week, we were hearing the waves crash into Mackinac Island when we were riding bicycles around the island. And I said to my wife, I says, wouldn't that be a pleasant sound just to capture and just have like at night, you know, just it puts you right to sleep, you know, those waves coming in, splashing. But that's not what Jesus said here. He didn't say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and go out on the pontoon boat with me, although that might be enjoyable for you. But that's not what he said. He said, get in the yoke. He said, do you need rest? Come work with me. Do you need, are you troubled? Are you heavy laden? Well, then get in the yoke with me. Let's do some work together. Normally we'd think of, boy, that doesn't sound too restful. But that's exactly what Jesus said. So a yoke, as we said, is that's a working utensil. Working apparatus is what that is. Jesus said, if you're tired, come work with me. You know, a lot of people would say, forget it. I've worked enough hours this week. I'm not interested in working anymore. But you know what? So many times people are like that with the Lord. They'll say, I don't want to get into the Christian life. You can't do anything that's fun. I saw two young people last night. When I say young, well, they're young. I'd say they're probably in their 20s, but sinning together at Myers. I won't go into any more detail, but they were doing things a couple shouldn't do that's not married. And you know what? That's not the way for them to be happy someday. But they would say, oh, forget the Christian way, you know. They're going to sin. They're going to sin together. So it's not the way. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You know what? They can do their own way, but they won't be happy. They won't have a wonderful marriage. They'll have a troubled marriage, other than by the grace of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In verse 12, Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a what man? A laboring man is what? Sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. In other words, he is so tired, it doesn't matter whether his tummy is full or not. He's going to lay down and he's going to sleep because he's tired. Has nothing to do with his stomach. It has everything to do with his muscles. He's tired. He's a laboring man. But the abundance of who? The rich will not suffer him to what? Sleep. The abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. He's laying his head on his pillow at night, but you know what? He can't sleep. Why? Well, because the stock market has crashed. His 401k has crashed. He had all that stock in GM. Well, it's the same as a government bond now, isn't it? The government owns it. So anyway, he's trying to lay his head down at night, but he's so troubled. But you know what? It doesn't matter with a laboring man, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Do you get the picture now? Jesus is coming to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. What's his recipe? What's his prescription? Get in the yoke with me. You've been out there working on your own. You're troubled. You're heavy laden. Now, why don't you get in the yoke with me and learn what life is all about? So many people I have known that spent 7 days a week working, and they're gone now. I knew one that worked at Gibson's. Most of the time, he worked 7 days a week. That place was his life. His wife passed away, and a couple years later, he passed away. And you know what? So is Gibson's. At least in Greenville, Michigan, it's passed away. It's gone. He invested all those years, 7 days a week. No time for God, but 7 days a week in Gibson refrigerator, and it's gone. It's gone. You know, maybe in some museum, someplace, there's a refrigerator that says Greenville, Michigan. Well, that's about the extent of it. It's the same as yesterday we were down to Kalamazoo to the, well, I guess they call it a zoo. Air zoo. I just couldn't think of what kind of zoo they called it. But anyway, down there they have one of the original gliders, and it says it was painted right on it. It was a gift from Greenville Schools, Greenville, Michigan. And it's hanging up down there, just bigger than the one that hangs in Myers there. But you know what? And that's where it was built, in Gibson refrigerator plant building. But if someone were to come to Greenville now, they'd say, where is the building? Well, it's gone. It's gone. It's not there. Just imagine investing your life in something that's gone. It's worthless. And that's why when we get in the yoke with the Lord, it counts. It's worth it. For some years of my life, a short time, I invested a lot of hours in a retail business I was working in. A lot of hours. That business isn't there anymore. It's gone. It's gone. But everything that I do for God, when I get in His yoke, it's worth it. It's Matthew 6. It's something that thieves cannot steal, rust cannot corrupt, moths can't eat it. One day, last week or two, I turned on the car radio and a talk radio guy was on. And evidently, he was talking to an elderly man on the phone, and this guy evidently was troubled about our nation. I only just came in the middle of the conversation. And so this elderly man is so troubled, and the talk host says, "I'm going to buy you," and he named off this expensive type of bed that's supposed to be really comfortable. He says, I'm gonna buy you one of these beds, and I hope this helps. Well, you know what? He might as well have spent his money, and he spent a lot less, but it's a lot more valuable. He should have said, "Sir, I'm going to send you this leather-bound book called the Bible." And you know what? It's no good buying that elderly man an expensive bed. It's not going to help him sleep. He's troubled. He's just going to lay on that expensive bed and not be able to sleep and get up and sit in some other chair. He should have sent him a Bible. That would be much, much more valuable. So I think of the Bible, and there was a poem I heard when I was in Bible school, and I've never forgotten it. The poem says, "Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side that can lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens the mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book will I cling, of its worth will I sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine." You might as well set that expensive bed out at the road for the garbage man, because it will never cause a restful night's sleep for that man who is so troubled. You might as well set it out for the junk man. And we know after Brother Williams preached the message that he wouldn't have to put that bed in the garbage truck. Amen. Somebody would come along and pick up that bed anyway. So let's look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. You know what? The way to find our lives is to lose it. All these principles the world doesn't understand, but they're true. God says they're true, and we've experienced it. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. "Thou wilt keep him in" what? Perfect peace. Can't get any better than that. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace" whose what? "Whose mind is" what? "Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The way to have perfect peace is to have our minds on Christ. Someone sent me along an email this week, and I almost never open a forwarded email. So many viruses are in those, and I always click, delete, anything that says forward, delete. I have enough computer problems without having more problems on my computer. But this one, I decided to open. It was from someone I knew. But it talked about this Christian, and maybe you got the same thing. You know, forwards go around and around and around. But this one talked about the Lord sitting as a purifier of silver. And so this Christian went to a silversmith to see what there was that could be gleaned from watching a silversmith work. And so the conversation goes back and forth. But this one thing I remember in particular, the person's watching the silversmith and asks the question, can't you destroy the silver if you heat it too much? And he said, yeah, I can ruin it. And so the person says, well, how do you know when to stop heating the silver? And he said, well, that's easy. I stop heating it when I can see myself in it. And then thinking, the Lord sits as a purifier of silver. You know when the Lord turns the heat off from us? When he finally sees his image in us. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. So the next time you feel the heat, the problems and the cares and the woes and the burdens and heavy laden, just remember he's turning the heat on until he sees his image in us. When all the dross has been burnt away and cleared, I was glad I opened that forward. It had to be of the Lord because I don't open forward messages. I thought, wow, that is really something. That is powerful. I've remembered that several times just since I opened that email. Just, okay, Lord, the best thing to do to get that heat turned off is just forsake all. And okay, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? May your image be seen in me. How can the Bible help a troubled soul? How? It keeps our mind stayed on Him. Keeps our mind on Him. It tells us of one who is all powerful. Notice Luke 1. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. If I'm laboring and heavy laden, His yoke was what? Is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. You see, when I get in the yoke with my Savior, I realize this here. Luke 1:37. For with who? God, what? Nothing shall be what? Impossible. But I don't know that till I get in the yoke. Do you realize we don't need miracles unless we have problems we can't solve? We don't need miracles unless we have problems that man can't solve. We all want to see miracles, but none of us want to get in problems that deep. None of us want to get so sick that only God could cure us. None of us want to have financial problems so great that only God could help. But we have to get in the yoke with Him. And the only way to see what He can do is to be working with Him, doing what He wants us to do in life. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Notice in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. You see, when we get in the yoke, then we see His strength. Jeremiah 32. You know what? That little boy sees his dad. That little boy doesn't know how strong his dad is until his dad does something. He uses his muscles, picks up something his little boy thought, I didn't know dad could pick that up or do that. But he wouldn't know it unless he is with his dad working. I heard some young men this week talking about their dads and the strength of their dads. They wouldn't know unless they was around their dad working. We don't know God's power unless we're with Him in the work. And then we see what He can do. Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am who? The Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything, what? Too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Look in chapter 33. And you know what? God is not selfish with His strength. You know what? It might be that someone would move a mountain for themselves, but what would they do for you? I heard this week about a gas station down in 14 Mile Road there. Maybe you've heard it on the news. Someone came in and tied up some girl and took her out. And I thought, why didn't the clerk do something? And someone said, well, maybe the clerk was another woman. I said, okay, but grab a pop bottle. Grab a bottle and smash it over his head. I mean, do something. You know, don't let someone like that come into a store and just tie up someone and carry him off. You know, what if it was you being tied up? Wouldn't you want someone to risk their lives? Man, I'd grab things and start throwing them at the guy. Do something. Something. The Lord says, verse 3, call unto me, and I will what? Answer thee and show thee great and what? Mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants us to call. Just recently someone said to me again, well, does God really want us to bring all of our problems to him? I mean, basically the question was like, doesn't God get tired of us, you know, constantly bringing things to him? You know, like, you know, they almost feel like they're whiners, you know, because they're always bringing to God their needs. God wants us to come to him. Notice in Psalm 50. God wants us to bring every need of ours to him. But you know what? If we're in the yoke with him, isn't it the same as when the disciples was on the boat, on the ship, and the waves were coming in, and they were afraid of sinking, and they wake Jesus up, and he says, why are you so fearful? I mean, are you not on the boat with the Son of God? Well, when you were in the yoke with him, you're safe. You're safe. He is the one that has all power. In Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of what? Trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt what? Glorify me. You know, we don't tend to glorify God unless we see his power. We should glorify him all the time. But so many times we do not unless we see his hand at work. I was raised in country schools, but when I got ready to go into the sixth grade, we had to move to the city schools. They didn't have the sixth grade in the country. And so I got to the city schools, and I soon found out there were bullies in school. And so these boys, you know, I don't know, they threatened us. And you know what I said? I says, well, I have a brother here, and he's 2 years older than you, and he'll come and clean your clock, you know. My strength was in, I knew my brother was at that same school that year, and he would come. Of course, I found out later that that boy had a brother that same age, too, so I started to start more fights, you know. But the point is this, the Lord wants us to call upon him in the day of trouble. And you know what? There's no one stronger than he. No one. No one. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, God doesn't get tired. He doesn't consider it whining when we come to him with our needs. Philippians chapter 4, he wants us to come. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for what? For nothing, but in what? Everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? There is the key. Do you not want to feel like a whiner? Then make sure every time you come to him with your needs, you're also thanking him for all that he has done. So be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? The peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. There it is. How do you want to have a mind that is not troubled, is not heavy laden? It's got to be stayed on him, Isaiah 26:3. And here we've got to bring all of our needs to him. So many times we walk around with that heavy load on our back, and he wants us to bring it to him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Have you ever looked at another Christian suffering in some sort and thought to yourself, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? I mean, they don't seem to be all depressed. They don't seem to be mad at God, but oh my, what they are facing. What is there right here? They are experiencing the peace of God which passeth all understanding. In other words, don't try to understand it because you can't. It passes understanding. It's the grace of God. The grace of God. So, the mystery. The mystery, Matthew 11:28, is that Jesus tells us when we are burdened, when we're heavy laden, to come to Him. And don't be surprised when you come to Him if He doesn't say, well, here's the lazy boy, and here's the iced tea, and here's your slippers. Just take it easy. Don't be surprised if you come to Him with all of your cares and burdens. Don't be surprised if He doesn't say, oh, I've got the pontoon boat waiting. Just waiting. It's been idling for you. Come on, let's go out for a little cruise. Take it easy. No, don't be surprised if you come to Him with all your cares and your burdens, and He says, I know, and I've got just the answer for you. Get in the yoke with me. I've got work for you to do. Don't balk at it. Don't say, what? More work? That's my problem. I'm going crazy. I have too much work. Get in the yoke. Get in the yoke. And let me show you a mystery. How I can give you the peace that passes all understanding. And we know, first of all, that's only through coming to Christ in salvation. It's His blood. It's the peace of the cross. It's at the cross where we have peace with God. And so, and then we know it's not just being saved, it's getting in that yoke. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast, for we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There was a man yesterday that was an elderly man that was giving us kind of a little history down there at the Air Zoo in Kalamazoo. And so I waited until he got all done, and then I went up to him. I said, I really appreciated you sharing that with us. And he told us about a real hero. And then the hero was sitting there in a wheelchair, and one who had risked his life. And I just had to give him a gospel track and just a few seconds there with him, share with him about, you know what, this talks about a hero, one who died on the cross for our sins that we might be free from that penalty. And the Lord is bidding us, get in the yoke, get in the yoke with me. There's so many precious hymns that have been written out of great trials. So these hymns were written not for money, but to bless people's hearts, and so many of these hymns come out of great trials and tragedies. But in the days of D.L. Moody, and it was a time of revival in many places in America and in England. And D.L. Moody went over there and was preaching in England, and his song leader was Ira Sankey at that time. And he was so busy, he was getting all these requests in, and he's only one man. And so he tried to encourage other evangelists to get in the yoke and get out there preaching. And so some did, and one was Brother Pentecost, and his song leader was George Stebbins. You find George Stebbins in our hymn book here in some of the songs. And so that's one team that went out, was Pentecost and Stebbins in England there. And one night, Brother Pentecost was preaching on you must be born again. And so Brother Stebbins is thinking about that as the song leaders did while the preaching was going on. They're thinking of hymns. And so he jotted down some words, and then he sent it to a preacher friend that he knew in Worcester, England. His name was Pastor William Sleeper. And He's jotted down some words and then sent them to him to see if he could come up with a song, and he did. It's the hymn, "You Must Be Born Again." And that song was not, it was not thought of out on the pontoon boat, hearing the water slap against the pontoons. That wasn't where it was. That song did not come to someone as they were sitting in the Lazy Boy sipping iced tea. That song came about because these men were in the yoke, serving the Lord and trying to get out the gospel. And in the midst of that toil came some wonderful songs. And this was one of them, "You Must Be Born Again." A short time later, Pastor Sleeper hadn't been sleeping. He brought along that song he'd been working on, "You Must Be Born Again." And God has used it. And God still uses it. Down in Missouri, that song was born over in England, but down in Missouri, some young men are singing that song out where they can be heard on the street. They're actually on a step singing that song. A young man walks by, he hears the song, and it just convicts his heart, "You must be born again." He stops and asks some questions. God is working in his heart. He asks about some services. He goes to the services and gets saved. So there's nothing more thrilling than getting in the yoke with Jesus. It's not more tiresome. It's where our burdens are lifted. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And now, Lord, help us. This is Labor Day weekend. And Father, we may just be worn out from the week's activities, the week's work. And it might be that we're just seeking a chair or a bed somewhere to sit down or lay down. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the place of true rest is in your yoke. That's the place where we see your power and realize just how finite our power is, how limited our power is, and how unlimited your power is. So, Lord, please work in our hearts. Lord, we know that we need physical rest. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. We know that, Lord. But I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize that peace that we need in our hearts only comes in being saved and being in your yoke. Have your way, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.